welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a special interview with Ayelet Marinovich, who's going to teach us how to talk and interact with our babies without going totally crazy. And we have our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to episode 39, everyone. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
So, what's going on with you this week? How old's your baby now?
She is 11 weeks old.
No.
Yeah, she's a cutie pie. And this week has been a roller coaster. I mean, it's all a roller coaster, but this particular week, I have felt the highs and lows like I'm on one of those crazy roller coasters at Magic Mountain, because I don't know if she's going through a growth spurt or what, but the first part of the week was horrible sleep, just horrible, so fussy. Aww. Fussing at the boob, just eating a ton, upset. And then she slept like a champ. Like, I mean, 12 hours straight with just one wake up for like a 15-minute feed. And I was like, oh my God, everything's changing. I see the light. And I was just like so happy and celebrating. And then, like, of course, that only lasted a couple days. And then she started a leap or something. But I just feel like I'm like getting whiplash from the totally. Experience of parenting my child this week. Yeah. And I never really know, like, is she actually going through a growth spurt or what's going on? She just was like eating a lot more mm-hmm. than usual and just fussing a lot more and upset. And I was looking online, as I do, for all my parenting advice.
Of course.
And yes.
Dr. Kelly, Google.
Yes. And Kelly Mom, which is like a big breastfeeding site. It's like mm-hmm. when your baby's going through a growth spurt, you can expect your own body to like be more thirsty or more hungry than usual. And I was like, oh my God, totally. I was eating voraciously. Whereas in the first few weeks, I had no appetite. And I'm like putting down entire like Jersey Mike sandwiches this week.
Love those Jersey Mike sandwiches.
Oh, it always comes back to those. Yum, yum. Another interesting thing I learned in my Google searching is try not to supplement during a growth spurt, which is what I actually did, because I was like, there's no way she's getting enough from me, especially before bedtime. It just seemed like she was just starving and like, just dying to have more milk. And so I supplemented before bed. So what I learned is that you probably shouldn't do that, because during those growth spurts, you want to signal your body to make more milk to provide
for
the
baby. Oh, that makes
sense.
Yeah. So yeah. It's training the baby, but it's also training you.
Yes, I've been in intense training this week.
Doing that Rocky montage of breastfeeding.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the two nights where she slept amazing, I mean, wow, that was incredible. I got up to feed her, but Steve got his first two solid nights sleep since she was born, because our other child didn't wake up either. And so he got some great rest. And so, yeah.
It's amazing with just a little bit extra sleep, how much you feel like a new person.
Oh, yes.
You know, my guy's been sleeping just a little bit longer. And like, even just one extra hour of sleep a night, you're just like, the world is my oyster. I can do anything today. I got 4 consecutive hours of sleep last night.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's amazing. So
at 12, I can't even imagine. Woof.
Oh, I know. And I just keep telling myself she's getting older. She's learning it. She had a little regression there from those couple nights. But, you know, she's almost 3 months now and she's just going to keep getting better and better. And I'm really trying to stay positive and just be like, she's getting better. She's working towards it. And I know she'll get there eventually.
How long does your older daughter, Elle, sleep at night? Your 3-year-old.
Probably about 10 to 11 hours.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They still get up early, right? But at least you get a good chunk in the middle
there. They usually wake up around 6:37, which I'm a morning person anyway. I don't mind getting up early. It's just harder, of course, when you're up all throughout the night doing things.
Yeah, it's one thing getting up at 6:30 when you're like, went to bed at 10 and you slept the whole night. It's another thing when you went to bed at 10 and then woke up at 2 and then woke up at 4 and you were up for an hour every time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's exhausting. But that's pretty much it for me. What about you? How old is your baby?
He's 7 weeks old this week.
Okay.
And so the social smiles are like coming hard and fast now. I think
yes.
They officially started last week. Like, he was definitely doing the social smiling at about like 5.5 to 6 weeks, I think, is when it really started. Mm-hmm. But now it's like you can get a reliable one out of him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In 6 weeks, they were social smiles, but you never quite knew when you were going to be like blessed with one. Now you just have to do a cute little song or dance or like tickle him or something. And he just goes into this big smile. Aww.
And he just, it's so cute. He's so happy in the mornings. Like, he just to see us, he wakes up and he just starts smiling at us. And I'm just like, oh, you're the cutest thing in the whole world.
Oh, love it.
The hardest thing, though, is, so you know how you're not supposed to make eye contact with them at night, in theory, like when they wake up for a feeding at night, because it supposedly stimulates them.
Right.
Have you heard this?
Yeah. Right?
So I guess the theory is that, like, faces are very stimulating for babies, and so you're not supposed to, like, look at them if you can avoid it.
That's so very awkward, hard. Like, staring at his forehead.
It's very hard. But I have noticed it's true, like, especially, like, for instance, right now, I just put him down for a nap, and we were texting because we were trying to record, and I'm like, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. Like, I'm putting him down, but I realize I have to, like, turn my face away from him. So that he doesn't, like, stare at me and just stay awake. But the smiles are very, very fun. But the problem is that in the middle of the night, he's all smiles, too. So I'll wake up at, like, 3 a.m. to feed him. He'll wake me up to feed him. And I'll feed him, and then I go to burp him, and he's just, like, looking up at me with this big old smile. And I'm just like, it's so hard to not just be like, you're the cutest little boy in the world. You know, like, just, like... I'm just like, I'm not supposed to look at you. And there's this little baby just smiling. It's torture.
That is such torture.
But anyway, it's really cute. And I usually fail and I end up engaging with him in the middle of the night. But, you know, he's only going to be little for a short time. So,
yeah, exactly.
And then the other thing we're doing is we're working on the sleep schedule. I'll check in with that later. But it seems to be going well. We had two things, big things this week. He actually went and got a hip sonogram to check for hip dysplasia. Did I tell you about this?
Oh, no. But is he predisposed for that because of his breech position?
Exactly. So apparently my doctor said that they like to do it with all breech babies. As listeners may know, I had a planned C-section because he was breech, like he was like real breech. Like his butt was wedged down in my pelvis and his legs were straight up. He was in pike position. Mm-hmm. And so when he came out, my mom being a pediatrician, she thought she felt a click in his left hip, which is a sign of hip dysplasia. But then by day two, it was gone. So she was worried about it. And so I had gone to my pediatrician. She said she didn't feel any clicks. But, you know, she said we always send kids who are breech to get hip sonograms anyway. So I took him to the imaging center. Mm-hmm. And it was so sweet. It was like an adult exam room, like an adult sonogram machine. So they're like,
oh my God,
he
must have looked
pillows.
So tiny on there.
I wish I had taken a picture, but it was just me. Corey was at work. And so like they set up like these pillows to like get his little hips on it. And he was like such a good little boy. They just sort of unsnapped one side of his diaper and then did one side and then did the other side. And he was like this tiny little baby on this huge exam table. It was really cute.
That's so cute. Well, what is hip dysplasia exactly? I don't know.
So what happens is I don't know like too much about it, but what I do know is that so basically the ball and socket joint, like it dislocates, right? So it's like frequent dislocation of the hip joint. And babies are very flexible and stuff. So, you know, it can happen more easily in babies. And it happens in a lot of babies, not just breech babies. But it's something that is super simply taken care of if you treat it as an infant. Like, mm-hmm. You put them in this harness that they wear for a certain number of weeks and then they're fine. Uh-huh. It's sort of like a brace, you know? But if you don't treat it, you can end up with really, really terrible side effects as an adult. You know, not being able to walk, walking with a major limp, you know, just like really, really bad stuff. So you want to make sure it gets checked out. And if your kid gets diagnosed with it, I can imagine it's really rough at first, but it's such a short period of time of treatment for most kids for like a lifetime of normal mobility. So it's a huge benefit. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. Did you get the results back?
Yes, I did. And everything was normal. His left hip was a little bit more lax than his right hip. So, but yeah, he's totally normal. So we don't have to do the brace, which I'm pleased
good.
With.
Good. So. That's good news.
Yeah. So that was the big event of this week.
All right. Very exciting.
Well, we've got a really great special segment this week, but shall we take a break first?
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have
so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
All right. right, welcome back to the show. We are very excited for our next segment. We've got a very special interview with Ayelet Marinovich. She is a pediatric speech-language pathologist, a parent educator, and imperfect mom, and founder of Strength in Words. Ayelet, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you have two children, right?
I do have two children. I have a two-year-old and a five-year-old.
Okay, very good, very good. So how did you become interested in the field of study that you are in?
Sure. Well, that's a good question. So Laura and I went to college together.
Reed College.
And I was a theater and Russian literature major.
The most useful majors.
Yeah. We were very...
We were both theater lit majors. So.
We were. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is going to be so useful.
Because opportunities are just going to be thrown at me.
So I moved to New York in my early 20s, as you do. And I became a makeup artist and a... admin at a school and a babysitter and a part-time this and a part-time that and an intern and all of the things that you do. And then I got really tired and I knew that I wanted to work with other people. I knew I wanted to be in a helping profession, but I had no idea what that might look like. So I was working at a school and one of the other educators there was like, well, with your background in theater and your interest in, you know, language, what about a language therapist? And I was like, oh. And then I started looking into the field of speech language pathology and realizing that, you know, oh, well, my best friend's aunt is a speech therapist. And then this person is one. And this, you know, everyone has like a, oh, right, I went to speech therapy or whatever it was, you know. Everyone has like an in to the field. So I just started talking to people about it and realizing that it combines so many of my interests, such as child development, psychology, and I like to communicate, as you might have noticed, and, you know, why not help other people communicate too? So I loved that it could, you know, I could serve tiny, tiny people and old people and everything in between, do habilitative and rehabilitative, and I just love the field so much. That was how I got started.
Very interesting. So is there one main issue that you see with children in speech development? Like, is there a top thing that parents could look out for or that you see?
I think really, well, for the purposes of our conversation, I think the biggest thing that I think can help families is just having a general sense of that trajectory of early communication development. My personal specialty is early intervention. So I specialize in work with infants and toddlers as a speech language pathologist. But then with my work, with my other business, Strength in Words, I work as a parent educator, helping families with infants and toddlers of all developmental levels who don't necessarily have concerns or may have concerns and don't know whether they're valid concerns or not. Because I find that when we have access to good, you know, high quality information about how our young, tiny people learn and develop, then we can make those informed decisions about what to do about that. And, you know, I think there's so many things out there about, like, well, first of all, there's milestones checklists that you can get from your doctor, of course, but that only goes so far, right? Like, you know that your baby's supposed to be saying their first word around age one, but okay, what if he's not, or how do I get there? Mm-hmm. What are the other little things that need to happen beforehand? And what does that look like? Or we know that we're supposed to, like, quote unquote, supposed to, you know, read and talk and sing and all of those things to our babies. But like, what does that look like with a 6-month-old? What might it look like if I'm an introvert? What if I don't have a good singing voice? What if, you know, all of these questions that we have. And what I try to do is to take that worry away and help parents understand that it's not about the stuff, because we are, of course, being bombarded all over the place mm-hmm. by wonderful advertisements for subscription boxes and developmentally appropriate educational toys and all of that stuff. But if we understand more about the basis of interaction and how infants and toddlers learn in all areas of development, then we have a much better feeling about the ways that we can support that development.
Yeah, I feel like that's something. So you have two books out now. The first is Understanding Your Baby, which I am like using as my Bible right now, which is awesome because I love how you set it up, because it's a week by week sort of what you can and should be doing that's developmentally appropriate with your baby. But it's not overwhelming in that, you know, like I think at the week seven, it's like, I can't remember if this is the week it's like sing to your baby or if that's, I read ahead a little bit. It's like one major thing. So it's not every week. I feel like I just went to my doctor for when we went to his last appointment. She gave me like a worksheet of all the things you should be doing. And think there's 36 things on it. And you look at it and you're just like, I can barely get through the day. You know what I mean? Like, how am I supposed to do 36 activities? So I think that's something, is that something you can sort of speak to, this sort of the sense of being overwhelmed?
Totally. The reason why I started doing what I'm doing as a parent educator is because I had my own kids, right? I mean, because when you work with families with infants and toddlers, you come into parenthood thinking, oh, well, I got this. Mm-hmm. I know all this stuff. Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's so intense and it's so overwhelming. And when we had my first, we were actually living abroad in London. And I started holding like little you could call them play groups or music classes or whatever, just like parent support groups in my home, because I was totally overwhelmed and, you know, feeling the most vulnerable that I'd ever felt in my entire life. But the thing that I was not struggling with was what I could do with this tiny human. And I found that so many of the friends that I had made who are also new parents, they were struggling with that.
Can I interrupt really quick?
Yeah. Absolutely.
By what to do with your baby, you don't mean like feeding and changing the diaper. You mean more like interactive play activities?
I mean the like, okay, my baby is fed and swaddled or changed, has a new diaper, and he's staring into my eyes. Now what?
Oh, been there. Yep.
Right. Like, we've all been there. Like, okay, now what am I supposed to be doing? Like, there's only, you know, whether you're like prepping to go back to work in 3 months or whether you're planning to be a stay-at-home parent or whatever it is, like, we know that we have this like finite amount of time and there's all this pressure to do it right, right? Another air quote, like, do it right, get it right. Mm-hmm. And we're like, that's really overwhelming. And we know that we want to take advantage of this sort of special, precious time, but figuring out sort of how to do that or how to do that best or how to do that easily and confidently is hard. And I think so many of us struggle, but you're right. Shauna, it's that piece about, okay, how can I be supporting my baby? I know that they're learning about something, but they're little, like my child is a little blob. So what exactly is he learning about? And also, like, I know I'm supposed to be talking to my baby, but like, what are some good ways to do that? Or like, why is that game Peekaboo actually developmentally beneficial? And so the fact is, what I try to help families see is that you're probably already doing it. And you already have all the stuff that you need. What you need is probably attached to you already, fingers, a voice, a face. So anyway, I think we ask the question, like, what do I need to get to stimulate my baby's development? What are all the things that I can fill my house up with? And what are the essential things so that I don't fill my home up with all the crap and all the stuff that like is actually feels unnecessary? And so I'm here to say that you already have everything you need. It's either attached to you or it's in your kitchen. probably. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of figuring out how to sort of unlock the power of those everyday objects and of the everyday routines that you're already performing. Caregiving routines, like taking a bath or changing a diaper and other daily things that you do, like maybe your baby's not putting on your shoes, but your toddler is, you know, getting your shoes on or going outside or checking the weather or checking the mail. All of those things are daily routines, things that happen regularly. And all of those things are things that you can take advantage of and maximize the power within.
Can you give us a specific example or two of something, since Laura and I both have newborns, maybe something that would be appropriate at around our baby's age?
Yeah. Okay. So how old is your baby Shauna right now?
11 weeks.
11 weeks. Okay. So 11 weeks old. So if you flip to the page in my book, for instance, it takes mm-hmm. you to 11 weeks old. And this one is all about routines and rituals. So you got a paragraph. Right. And it's all about how caregiving routines are often the most powerful opportunities for learning because, like I was just saying, they happen every day throughout the day. So your baby is experiencing and participating in her or his own way in those daily routines and also learning about interaction and what will eventually be things that she can predict, you know, what will come next and the transition that will happen between those things from the end of one activity to the start of another one. So we think of those caregiving routines, right? Like waking up, going to sleep, eating or drinking or nursing, washing or bathing or diaper changing. But then there's also things like, you know, creating ritual out of those things. So then you've got what you can do, right? This is a fact. This is developmentally happening in your mm-hmm. child's life, that routines and rituals are useful. And I cite all the research that I have there. And then what you can do to make those times actually special for your baby, things like singing a special song or saying a specific phrase during one of those times, right? So like, for instance, your baby wakes up from the crib and you go every day to the window and you say, like, maybe you sing like a song that you knew from Raffi, like a sun song, or you ask about the mm-hmm. weather, or you say like, I wonder what the weather is. Or even like when you're changing your baby's diaper, you might say like, oops, stinky diaper or something like that every time, so that you can sort of ritualize these routines and events that happen.
Right.
Without putting additional pressure, like I have to say this thing. It's just like, this is another thing that you can do. And by ritualizing these events, you're creating opportunities for your tiny, tiny baby to learn about things that happen over time. Learn about patterns. That's cognitive development, right? Sequence events. That's also cognitive development. But you're also filling in all this language, right? Whether it's the same words over and over, you're giving those sounds, those speech sounds. So whether or not your baby, you know, understands those words is irrelevant, right? Because you're teaching about the melody of the language or languages you speak. You're teaching about the speech sounds that you create and what those look like on your mouth when you say them. You're mm-hmm. holding your baby up or putting her down or moving her around in different ways, supporting her motor development. And of course, this is interactive between the two of you. So that's also social and emotional development. So in that teeny tiny little moment that you're already having with your baby, right? Because when she wakes up in the morning, you go to her, whether she's in your room or another room, and you pick her up. So in that moment, there's a ton of things that you can do. That's just one extra second, probably. And you're supporting all the areas of development. Right there.
That's so cool. I wanted to see if this thing I've been doing with my daughter would qualify for what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Case study. Let's hear.
Case study. So she has been taking Zantac, baby Zantac, for a few weeks now because of her reflux. And so it's three times a day I have to give her her little like thing of her syringe of medicine. And so every time it's time to do that, I bring it up to her face and I say, medicine, medicine. And like, so that she like is cued to know that it's time to put the syringe in her mouth and taste it. And I swear, after doing that for a few weeks, now she like kind of opens her mouth for me. Ooh. When I say medicine, medicine. So is that something like you're talking about, like adding a little something to a routine?
Absolutely. You just gave her a tactile cue by putting something on her mouth or next to her mouth, a visual cue, you're putting it next to her mouth, she can see it, and an auditory mm-hmm. cue, you're saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Cool.
That, well done.
Thank you. That's cool. That's, it's nice to know that, like, you can unintentionally aid your child's development.
But that's the whole point, right? Like, we're already mm-hmm. doing it. So when we understand the developmental basis for the things that we're often already doing, like singing a lullaby or walking around the house with your baby in your arms or playing peekaboo or whatever it is, like, we are, number one, more likely to keep doing it and do it more. And also, that helps with our own confidence and it helps decrease the overwhelm. So it's very powerful.
That's awesome.
Can I ask, for me, I have my own case study question. so, you know, there's lullabies and there's all these baby specific things. But I personally very much enjoy walking around singing the entire Hamilton soundtrack to my son.
Totally.
Am I setting him up for a lifetime of thinking he needs to participate in duels, or are we okay?
Okay, so there's a couple things that I want to say. Number one, the reason why things like little nursery rhymes and finger plays and simple tunes like that are helpful is because they tend to have similar features of what we call infant-directed speech. So what that is we're thinking about like, how do you talk to your baby, Laura? Like, if you look down and you talk to him, you'll probably do something like, hi, how are you? Oh, what's going on? Oh, mm-hmm. you're doing this, right?
Yes.
Most likely your voice gets a little higher in pitch. Most likely you slow down your words slightly. And most likely you shorten your utterance, your sentence. Maybe mm-hmm. you use repetitive words. Maybe you use a similar pitch contour, like, hello, hello, mm-hmm. right? This basic stuff. These are things that we do as parents and caregivers and people around babies in every language around the world. In every culture, there are features of what we call infant-directed speech. And it's those kinds of things, a slower rate, a higher pitch, repetitive pitch contouring, all of these things. It even happens in sign language, slower hand motions, short. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So it's powerful stuff. And there's a ton of research that supports the idea that your baby actually is more attuned to it. You do it because your baby can see that it's more interesting. You're shifting something from the norm, right? Mm-hmm. And you're maybe making more eye contact, and you're physically closer to your baby when you're doing it sometimes. And your baby hears that adjustment in your voice and reacts. And there's research to support the fact that babies and young toddlers, they focus more on you when mm-hmm. when you talk like that, and they pay attention for a longer period of time, which is fascinating and amazing. And you're already doing it, right? So
yeah, it's so natural to do that.
It's a thing that is innate to almost all of us. And this is not to say like, oh, booger booger, you want your wah wah blah blah blah, right? Like, I'm mm-hmm. not talking about like changing the words to babify them. I'm talking about like the way that you're talking, that sound and the melody of your voice. Mm-hmm. Now, I keep saying melody for a reason, right? Because there's infant directed speech and then there's infant directed music. And those things are the kinds of things like play songs that we sing, like, for instance, like Skip to My Lou or mm-hmm. a hello song or whatever it is that you might hear in like a daycare or a preschool or whatever, or on like a really annoying YouTube channel.
Daddy Shark count for that?
Can I swear in here? Because I really want to
yes,
say.
Yes, please. Yes, it's an explicit yeah. podcast. Go for
like,
it.
That shit is so, it's chalk, right? It's fingernails on a chalkboard. And, like, there is no reason to subject you or your baby to that shit. But there is a lot of evidence to say that like nursery rhymes, finger plays, those kinds of things where like there's that repetitive pitch, lullabies, all of these like slow, cozy songs that mimic the energy that you want to like exude, right? To like slow things down or like faster play songs that are exciting sensorially. So these are like, there's a reason why those things exist, and they are developmentally beneficial for all of the reasons that we just talked about. That's not to say that Hamilton has any less developmental benefit. Like, again, your baby is hearing the patterns of all of these things. Like a melody in and of itself, a melody and rhythm, all of those things, your baby's like decoding at his or her own level. I'm not saying that they're like able to like, you know, take it apart and put it back together. Eventually, maybe. But when you are playing or singing songs, you're having a rich interactive experience. Whatever that song is, whether it's Hamilton or Wheels on the Bus, you're creating an interactive experience for your child. And that in and of itself is developmentally beneficial.
That's good to know.
That's good news.
It is good news. That is.
So Ayala, you also have a podcast, right? Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. So my podcast came out of doing these like live groups because we were living abroad and I was like, well, how can I keep doing this? And so the first like 30 episodes are sort of like a pocket version of the class kind of. So it's like, I take a developmental concept, I explore it through music often and through play and just talk about it. And then more recently with the last like 40 or so podcast episodes, it's more either talking, like getting more early parenthood experiences or getting guest speakers to talk more about the different developmental ideas or concepts from lots of different perspectives. Because I hate the term parenting expert. That thing, that's my nails on a chalkboard. Because no one is a parenting expert. There are people who know things. But as we talked about, like when you just start your journey into your own parenthood exploration, there's no one person or any person who can give you expert advice. You are the person who becomes the expert on your own child. And when there are people who can give you more information, high quality evidence-based information, information that you can figure out what to do with to be your own parent and be in your own family and parent your own child. And that's what another person can do, a professional or an educator or another parent, right? Like, but there's no such thing as a parenting expert.
Makes sense to me. What is your podcast called and where can our listeners find it?
It's called Strength in Words. And it's anywhere that you want to download your podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Google and Google Play and Spotify and Stitcher and all those fun places.
I listened to some of your podcast and you do some singing. And I think you encourage like, you know, to sing along and listen with your baby. And your voice is like so pretty and like the nicest thing to listen to. I just wanted to listen to you sing like all day.
Start a singing podcast.
Podcast. I do have an album as well.
No. Cool.
But the thing is about that is I think there are so many ways to infuse more sort of music and language and movement and play into our parenting activities. And some of us are more naturally people who desire to sing. And for some of us, that is not natural. And that's okay. And I want to like, I think part of the reason why I encourage people to use music is because of the things that we just talked about. Because music is such a powerful framework for teaching, for doing anything, for targeting any area of development, and for singing about emotions, for singing about actions, for whatever it is. And I think people get really stuck in the like, why? I don't want to subject my baby to my voice, or I don't remember all the words. For any of the words or whatever it is. But like, okay, number one, if you were the person to carry your baby in your belly, in your baby sack, then your baby has been listening to your voice since about 20 weeks gestation. So your voice is equated with comfort and coziness and warmth. They know your voice. They don't care whether you can quote unquote sing. And then also, like, it doesn't matter if you remember any of the words, because repetition of a song within a pattern, which is a melody, with variation which is like changing the words up all the time, is awesome. That's like the what's it called? The golden nugget. That's like the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The Holy Grail?
Holy Grail. Thank you. Yeah.
Holy Grail.
It's the Holy Grail right there. Because we learn as humans, we learn through repetition. And when you can change one little thing up, like the tempo or the words or whatever it is, like even if you're just singing on your baby's name, right?
Yeah.
Bill, whatever your baby's name. That's great. That's all you have to do. And musical experiences are not just singing a song to your baby, right? They include rocking, listening, adding to the tempo or the rhythm. There's so many things that you can do. So yeah.
That's so great. You've given us so many tools to help our babies, and that's wonderful. Where can people find your books?
So they are on Amazon. You can get to them through my website or just look up Understanding Your Baby or Understanding Your Toddler up on Amazon. The toddler book just launched in early March.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
Doing great.
Cool.
Both of the books are Amazon bestsellers. There's a lot of reviews up on Amazon. You can read more about what other people have to say. So that's helpful, I think.
My bloody. What's wrong, baby? Am I not paying attention to you?
Oh, Bubba. Well, I think he's got the right idea that we probably need to wrap up the interview so we can get to our BFPs and BFNs for the week.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So why don't we get to that after this quick break?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
So our final segment are our Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives or BFPs and BFNs of the week. Shauna, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I do. I'm excited to share this. I have a BFP.
Yay.
And yeah, that is Womb Sounds on Spotify.
Oh.
Do you guys use Spotify? Yeah, you do, right?
Constantly.
To listen to music? Yeah. So anyways, Steve was playing White Noise for our baby in the car, and it was like just rain and whatever. And like the next track clicked onto Sounds from the Womb, and it's like woo, 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 and like a heartbeat. And it just sounds very, I don't know, human and womb-like. And my baby instantly like got quiet, got calm in the car. And I've played it several times since. And she just like zones out. She loves listening to these sounds. She finds it so calming. And there's a lot of different ones on Spotify. Like you just search womb sounds and you'll find them. I don't know. The only downfall is like I drive around Los Angeles feeling like I'm driving around in a uterus, but it calms the baby. It's fantastic. It's a nice white noise alternative to rain.
Love it.
Yeah, I have to say, like, pure white noise is getting a little old for me, too. So maybe I should try that.
Yeah. Ayala, do you have a BFP or BFN you'd like to share with us this week?
Yeah. Well, my BFP, I suppose, is that I feel like I just birthed another thing with this book, which is great. And it's out in the world and it's done. And that's a huge relief.
It's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's amazing.
And people seem to like it, which is also a really nice thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a BFP if I ever heard one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Laura, what about you?
So I also have a BFP. It's BFPs all around.
Woo.
So mine is this thing called, well, we call it the egg lamp in our household, but I think its official name is the Vava Nightlight. So it's this little, like, I'd say it's maybe like an ostrich egg size, maybe smaller. I haven't seen an ostrich egg in a very long time. Probably a little bigger than a softball, I'd say. And it's a wireless LED, or sorry, I think it's LED. That's not LCD. Yeah. LCD sound system, that's one thing. LED lamp that is touch activated. So you tap it twice to turn it on, tap it twice to turn it off. And it has one setting that's a warm light that supposedly has zero blue light emissions. So like,
I think we have this.
Do you? There's a lot of different versions too.
Yeah, something like it we had. It was great.
Well, we got it because when we got up in the middle of the night, we'd have to turn on a lamp and then we'd like try draping blankets over it and stuff, but it never really worked. And then I was like, there has to be a product for this. There's a product for everything. So I found it. And it's great because it puts out a very, very dim light and you can set the different levels of how much light you want to put out, but it's no blue light. So it doesn't stimulate you or the baby to wake up. And it's worked really well to keep our son like nice and calm in the middle of the night and us.
Great.
And then if you want, you can switch it to like multicolor. So like there's another version. And it also has a timer. So if you have an older kid, there's a timer function so that it fades out after a certain amount of time. So it can act as a nightlight while they're falling asleep. So all of these things we will link to on our show notes at bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And we'll make sure to link to all of Ayala's resources, her books, her podcast, everything, her website, Strength and Words. Is it strengthandwords.com?
Yep, strengthandwords.com.
Awesome. So you guys can all find it. And that's going to be at our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
And I think that's it for our show. Ayala, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so fun to talk to you.
Yeah, it was so fun being here. Thank you, guys.
I'm glad we made it work.
Yeah. Yes, we did make it work despite gardeners and babies and all that stuff. We roll with it. If you have any questions or comments for us, please reach out. We love hearing from you guys. Laura, where can they find us?
We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BFP Podcasts. We also have a Facebook community group you can join. And like I said, we have our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Sean Amico, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.